time, John chapter 11, if you want to follow in your Bible. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, the illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through this. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that they meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus was already dead in the tomb 4 days. Sorry, we'll start again. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village and was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you, you have heard me. I knew you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth, Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Kyle, for reading to us. Please keep your Bibles open and follow along as we go through John 11. We've come to John 11, and it's the last of what is known as the signs in John's Gospel. Signs that are there to reveal who Christ is. And we've thought about some of them in the past few weeks. We haven't covered them all. We thought about the healing of the official's son, healing of the lame man at the pool, then Jesus feeding the 5,000, and then the last one, Jesus healing the man who had been born blind. And then we come to this one in John 11, and I suppose like none of the others, we see Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And we can see a clear purpose here for what is happening in John 11. If you look at verse 4, it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. I want you to keep that in mind as we go through. I want you to see how God is working for his glory. And I want you too to bear in mind your own life and circumstances. And to know too that today God is working for his glory so that the Son of God may be glorified. And the other thing I want you to notice, and the other thing you will see emphasis on here is belief, faith of Jesus' followers. I've circled this word 7 times in my Bible. It would be good to read through and pick these out for yourself. And again, what we see here and what I want you to see here and to be able to see in your own life is that God is glorified, his glory is revealed, and more as our faith and our belief in him is strengthened and established. So we have this situation. It's close friends of Jesus, and they're going through a very difficult time. Lazarus is very ill. Naturally, his sisters, Mary and Martha, well, they're in bits about this. They're so concerned, and they long for their brother to be restored to health. And so, of course, they think, well, we'll send word to Jesus. Jesus will come, he'll make him well, and everything will be okay. But when Jesus heard the news, verse 4, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified." Now, of course, Jesus is not meaning that Lazarus would not die, because he did, and we'll see that, but ultimately, this would not end in death. Jesus would do something greater. Now look at verse 5 with me. We read, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." And if you follow on into verse 6, we read, "So," or "therefore," Jesus loved these people. Therefore, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. We could say, because Jesus loved this family, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And there's something about that doesn't really add up in our minds. I mean, these people, they're in a terrible predicament. They're in the depths of despair. They've called on Jesus for help. I mean, Jesus loves them. He clearly loves them. So surely the most natural thing to do is to leave straight away and heal Lazarus before things get any worse. And Jesus could have made them very happy by doing this. I want us to think back to chapter 5, and I'll refer to this several times this morning. It was a few weeks ago, and Jesus was speaking about his equality with his Father and also the distinction in their roles. And in chapter 5, verse 23, we read, "When the Father is honored, the Son is honored." Further in verse 19, we read, "The Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise." And again, verse 30, Jesus says, "I seek not my own will, but the one who sent me." So you see, this delay in time that we're reading about here in John 11, this delay in time is under the sovereign working and direction of God for his glory and the glory of the Son. And this is worked out in the circumstances of the lives of the people he loves, that they may believe and see the glory of God. So Jesus stayed 2 days longer, and then he made the journey to meet this family. And when he arrived, Lazarus had already died and been in a tomb for 4 days. The normal custom was that the day you died, you would have been buried and placed in a tomb that day. So Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Now, if, like me, you've been trying to work out the maths with these days, and when did Lazarus actually die, and when did Jesus actually get there, and all this, there's a little bit of dispute over where Jesus was actually staying. We know from chapter 10, 40, that he was where John had been in chapter 1, verse 28. And some believe that to be close, just a day's journey to where Lazarus was, and others believe it to be further away, about a 4 days' journey from where Lazarus was. So if you go with the closer location, well then Lazarus died the day the message was brought to Jesus. Jesus then delayed for 2 days, and then he had a day's journey back to them, making up the 4 days. If you go with the further away location, which was a 4 days' journey, then Lazarus didn't die until after the 2 days delay. So you can compare Lazarus being ill in verses 4 and 6 with verse 11, when Jesus realized Lazarus had died, then he made the 4 day journey to see him. For what it's worth, I think the second is a more natural reading of the text, but regardless, the facts are there was a delay, and Jesus arrives 4 days after Lazarus had died. There's a Jewish belief that for 3 days after a person died, their spirit would kind of hover around the body. And so in those first 3 days, there was a possible chance of resuscitation. And I don't know, perhaps Mary and Martha were still hopeful in this time. But by the fourth day, this window of opportunity had gone. And in everyone's mind, Lazarus was as dead as he could possibly be. In light of what Jesus was going to do, I mean, no one was going to try and explain it by saying, well, perhaps he wasn't properly dead or something like that. And perhaps this was part of Jesus' thinking in the delay. But this whole situation, it was by no means ideal for Mary and Martha. It's not what they had chosen, certainly not what they wanted, and it plunged them into the depths of grief. But Jesus was doing something greater. Look at verse 15 with me. Jesus said to his disciples, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe." And we see this thought repeated with Martha. When she heard Jesus was coming, she ran to meet him. Verse 21, she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." These are words of grief. Yes, they're words of disappointment, but they're words of faith. She knew that Jesus could have healed Lazarus. And the following verse, I guess, emphasizes that faith. She says, "But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Now, this doesn't suggest she was still hoping for Jesus to heal Lazarus and to bring him back to life. She was the one, if you look down in verse 39, that saying, don't remove the stone because there'll be a terrible odor. So she clearly didn't think this is what Jesus was going to do. But verse 22 shows that she still believes who Jesus is. Again, if we refer back to chapter 5, we see the Father and Son do not work independently. The Father will give to the Son what he asks because the Son will not ask anything that would be against the Father. We see that oneness between Father and Son, which Mary acknowledges. Well, Jesus says to her, he says, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She thought Jesus was comforting her through the fact that Lazarus would be raised with everyone on the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't say, I'm the one who gives life, but I am life. Again, if we go back to chapter 5, as the Father has life in himself, so has the Son. Jesus himself is the source of life. If we connect these phrases that we see here, I am the resurrection. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. In the last day, whoever believes in Jesus, he will be raised to life. And Jesus alone will do this. Chapter 5, an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. So Jesus says, I am the resurrection. And he also says, I am the life. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Again, if I can quote from chapter 5, Jesus says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. There is life that will be given on the last day, but there is life that is given now. Eternal life begins now, and that never ends. And of course, this too is found in Jesus alone. So that means when a believer dies physically, he has not died, but enters into a greater reality of the life that he has been given now. And Jesus says to her, do you believe this? She says to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ. That is, you're the Messiah. You're the promised King. You are the Son of God, equal to God. You're the one who is coming into the world, the long-promised one, the fulfillment of Old Testament. And I want to ask you this morning, do you believe this? I hope that you can take confidence and hope that loved ones who have died in Christ are not dead, but in fact alive. And I hope that you have that confidence for your own life. But I think there's something more here. I think we often have what we might call a gospel gap in our thinking. So we recognize and we're thankful for God's power working to give us spiritual life. And we've confidence that for when we die, because of our conversion, that we too will live. But we don't really know what this does for us in the here and now today. And I think that's what Martha's thinking. She says, I know Lazarus will be raised to life, but what does that do for me here and now today? And I think this is why Jesus, in a sense, pulls Martha away from thinking about what Jesus will do on the last day to Jesus himself. He wants to know that she believes in who Christ is in the here and now. Don Carson says that about this, Jesus' concern is to divert Martha's focus from an abstract belief in what takes place on the last day to a personalized belief in him who alone can provide it. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Do you believe this makes a difference to you living today, tomorrow, with the complexities, the disappointments, the grief, the pain, and sorrow that life so often brings? In Ephesians 1, we read that the power that raised Christ from the dead is at work towards us. When we became a Christian, when we were given eternal life, the Spirit of Christ was given to us. Christ is with us, and his resurrection power is at work within us today to glorify himself and to establish and strengthen the faith and the belief of those he loves. I believe we need to know that. Regardless of how desperate our circumstances are, I mean, you may feel like your life is falling apart. Do you believe who Christ is? Do not fear hopelessness. God is at work within you for your sake, for his glory. Now, many of you will know all too well that knowing God is at work does not eradicate the pain of our circumstances. And I think that's demonstrated through Jesus' interaction with Mary. Well, Mary comes out to meet Jesus, and with her those who were mourning. And she asked Jesus the same question that Martha asked. She says in verse 32, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus' response in verse 33, "When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept." What we see here is a lot of mixed emotions from Jesus. There is inner turmoil. There is a disturbed feeling from him. He is troubled. There's even anger and agitation in there. Frustration as he looks and he sees the devastating consequences of sin and death on those he loves. And I would say to you this morning, perhaps as a bit of an aside, that if you feel any of these feelings surrounding the death of a loved one, can I suggest that these are natural feelings to what is a very disturbing experience? And if I can widen this even beyond bereavement, I think we can suffer in many other ways that can leave us feeling equally devastated and disturbed. And for any that who would hint to you that you need to pull your socks up and jolly yourself along, as sincere as that may be, I would suggest that you take that with a large pinch of salt. Jesus did not undermine their grief. He did not speak flippantly about it. He did not offer them trite statements, but he focused their attention on himself, on who he is and what he is doing. Many situations in our life, they are hugely significant. They cannot be undermined, and they cannot be fixed quickly or flippantly. So what hope and encouragement can we offer? I mean, perhaps there's something in your life and you've prayed desperately for God to change it, and he hasn't, and you haven't lost faith, but you've this kind of heavy disappointment of, "But God, you could have done this." Or, "God, if only you had done this." And perhaps in looking to what God could have done, you have missed Christ himself. Imagine you have a £10,000 debt, which is significant in most our terms. If that's not significant in your terms, imagine you have £100,000 debt. But it's hugely significant, and you're thinking about this, and you can worry, you panic, and you fret, and you just don't know what you're going to do about it. And you long for it to be taken away. But you're looking at this debt, not knowing that you have £1 billion inheritance coming to you. You see, your debt is hugely significant. Nobody can deny that. But often we look at our problems and our circumstances without looking at God's provision. We see the £10,000, but we don't see the £1 billion. Sufferings in our life, they are hugely significant. Nobody can deny that. Do we see him? Do we believe that Christ is here? Are we trying to respond through personal strength, or are we responding through God's provision, namely Christ himself? Well, Jesus comes to the tomb, and as I said earlier, Martha protested. She couldn't have imagined what Jesus would do, greater than what she could have imagined. And Jesus says, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Well, the stone was taken away, and Jesus prayed to his Father again to show who he was, that those around may believe. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Amazing. Just like that. Jesus has the power over death. This last sign would reveal his glory like none of the others. Jesus was who he said he was, and it really is worth believing in him. Now, Lazarus, of course, would die physically again, but this incident would also preempt Christ's own death, and which would reveal his glory most of all. And when Jesus was raised and ascended back to the Father, we would receive the Spirit, Christ with us, resurrection power at work within us every day. See, God often works very differently to how we would expect him to or even want him to. And Christ's own death is the perfect example of that. Well, can you see here that if Jesus had come immediately or just given the word straight away for Lazarus to have been healed, that his family and those around, they would not have had their faith strengthened, and in turn they would not have seen as great a display of the glory of God. Let me make three brief points in closing to try to sum this up. Firstly, know that in every circumstance, God is working to strengthen your faith and glorify his name. God's work is so much greater than making our lives more comfortable. He's working to make us more like Jesus. And every context we find ourselves in fits within a greater context with a divine purpose. So from the simple things to a flat tire on the way to work, to the cancellation of a meeting, to more acute forms of suffering, know today that God is with you, sovereignly working to increase your belief in his Son and reveal his glory. And I believe when we know this, we can respond very differently. And perhaps the darker the situation, the greater opportunity there is to be strengthened in faith and to see his glory revealed. Secondly, trust him. When we know who God is and we know he is working, we can trust him. You may not like your life right now, You may long for things to be different. You may have 100 unanswered questions. But you can trust him. Never doubt his love for you. Never doubt his desire for you to experience his glory and his call for us to trust him. And as you trust him and you begin to look to Christ, to his resources, to his strength, to his power, you'll begin to see more of the glory of God revealed. And thirdly, pray. This will be an acknowledgement that you are trusting him. And prayer is not our 999 call to get God to come to our help. God is always working. Christ is with us. And you know, it's okay to ask God, please take this away. Please change this. But God, if you don't, help me to see and know who you are. And by your resurrection power at work within me, increase my belief in your Son. Make me obedient through this. Make me like Christ, and may your glory be seen. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the wonder and the privilege that it is that you've called us to be your own, and we find ourselves caught up in your story of redemption. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for this account from John 11 that just reveals who Christ is, strengthens faith, and reveals your glory. And Father, we ask for each of us that whatever we are currently facing, that we would simply know that you are working. You're working on something much greater often than what we see. Father, help us to trust you. And Lord, may you increase our belief in your Son. May you reveal your glory, that others too would come to know just who Christ is. We ask this in his name. Amen.